tonight to the book of Psalms. And if you would please pick up another scripture in John chapter 5, please. That's the book of Psalms, 142. Pick up another scripture in John chapter 5. It's good to be saved, isn't it? How long do I have, preacher?
8:30.
Okay, we'll let it go. Psalms 142, please. Psalms 142. And thankful I'm saved. How about you? Glad to be born again? Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalms 142. And if you know your Bible here in Psalms 142, brethren, David's in real trouble and his circumstances haven't been changed. But brother, he's comforted in his soul. Aren't you thankful for that? David's been running from Saul, and the account says he's been running from Saul for about 25 years. And that's a pretty long time to be chasing somebody, wouldn't you say? And David's with some men that are distressed. They're in debt. They're in despair. And it's funny how those things happen where Saul had the strong men and he was able to weaken them. But David had the weakest of men and he was able to strengthen them. And David here, he feels like he's drowning. Have you ever felt like that? He's drowning in despair and he's drowning in despondency and he's been drowning in disappointment. But somehow David's been able to encourage himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something, brethren? When everything's sunk and there's no hope and it looks like you're through and you're finished, aren't you thankful when God shows up? Here I believe that, brethren, we see the great picture of the missionary cry. Look at verse 1. I want you to notice there's 12 personal pronouns in this particular chapter. He says, look what he says. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest, notice my path. In the way when I've walked, they've privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. Here's the missionary cry. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I want to preach a little while with the Lord's help on a missionary cry. Let's talk to the Lord. Our gracious and heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, God, we thank you for another day to be alive, Father, another day to breathe, God, to be able to praise your holy name. Father, we pray for the word of God to go forth. We pray, Father, there's a lost man or a woman in this place, God, that's never been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, I pray tonight, God, if there's a Christian that's apathetic in his life or, Father, needs a touch from you, Father, I pray that they get their help from heaven tonight, Father. Lord, I realize tonight I'm just a man. God, I speak on the outside. But we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would please speak on the inside. Father, we need your help more than ever in these last days. And, Lord, I pray that you'd raise up an army of soldiers, Father, to go out in the highways and byways and compel people to come in. Father, our prayer is that, Lord, we'd reach the world with the gospel. Lord, thank you for the precious word of God. Now, Lord, I pray that you encourage your people as only you can do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother, here, somebody asked me just recently in a church, he said, what's the greatest need in Moldova? And I got to thinking about it. The greatest need in Moldova is God. Do you realize we got God in our family? Nothing can stop us. We got God in the church? Nothing can stop our church. We got God in our relationships? Nothing can stop our relationships. The greatest need for the Christian is God. You know, notice what David said here. He says in verse number 3, he said, when my spirit is overwhelmed within me, thou knowest my path. In the way when I've walked, they privily laid a snare for me. You know something here? I was thinking about this, and he says, I was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path. Aren't you thankful tonight that God Almighty knows your path? The Bible says in another place, he says, he knows our down sitting and our uprising. Think about it. He knows every time you get up. He knows every time you sit down. He knows every time you stand up. The Bible says he can pass us round about. That means God's everywhere. God's right beside you. God knows what you're doing. God knows where you're going. He knows what you're up to. God knows, you can't get anything around God. God knows everything. God knows why we do what we do. He knows our motivations. In fact, one day you and I are going to get judged for the things that we did in this body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Think about that. But brother, when you're bottoming out, God knows where we're at. He knows what's happening. But David said, no man cared for my soul. You know, I thought about that. Brethren, do we really care? You really care for souls tonight? You really care about that neighbor you're living next door to? You really care about that neighbor you've worked, you live by? Do you really care for the guy that you've worked next to all your life? Do we really care? You know what I've noticed about Christians that what God's looking for? People are looking for somebody to care about them. They're looking for somebody to love them. You see, God knows our path, and God knows your position, and God knows your possibilities. And sometimes with God, with the possibilities, God doesn't show up. Sometimes God will allow you to make your own choices, and then He'll give the desires of your heart. But David here, he's in a cave. He's in a dark cave. He's in a dark cave with his men. He's with the mighty men. And you know, it's interesting to me that David could always see the big picture. You ever notice there's only a few Christians that really see the big picture. David could see the big picture where the men that he was with, Abishai, and some of the great mighty men, they couldn't see it. They could only see the immediate. They could only see what was in front of them. But David always seemed to see the big picture. You know, he saw the kingdom that was divided. He saw that Saul and the kingdom of Saul and the kingdom of David were divided, and he had it in his mind and in his vision to be able to get those kingdoms back to where they needed to be. But Abishai said, hey, there's Saul. Let's take his head off. David said, let him alone. He's the Lord's anointed. But you know why? Because he could see the big picture. Wonder tonight, do you got the big picture? Do you see what the big plan is tonight? He's in a cave. Brother, he's in the perfect will of God here. David was doing right. David was doing righteous. David was ruling and leading men. He says, when my spirit is overwhelmed within me, thou knowest my path and the way wherein I've walked, and they've laid a snare for me. Do you know there's going to be snares on doing the right things and going down the right path? There was for David here. There can be snares doing the right things, and snares were the greatest. The snares are the greatest when we're walking with God. And you say, well, Brother Paul, I'm doing right. I'm doing the right things. I'm making the right choices, and I've got all these problems. Good, you're in the right place. Amen. Well, you can be blessed. But David said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. You know what David's doing? He's complaining to God. You ever got down and complained to God? You know something? If you get down and complain to God, you know what God will do? You get down and start complaining to the Lord, hey, this thing ain't going my way, and you know, this person's doing this to me. You know what God will do? He'll show you about 100 things in your life that are not right. And all of a sudden, that complaint, it'll stop. But that's what's happening to David here. But he says, no man knows me. No man cared for my soul. I wonder how many of us have felt that way before you got saved. Nobody cared for me. But notice what he says in verse 5. Look at it. He said, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Verse 6, attend unto my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they're stronger than I. Have you ever admitted the world stronger than you? I'm talking about the temptations of the world. Listen, you're not going to get victory over the unsaved people without God's help. He says, my persecutors are stronger than I. Then he prays in verse 7. He says, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about. Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And then in verse 4 he says, no man cared for my soul. You know what that is tonight? That's the missionary cry. You know what? You and I ought to have the missionary cry. You say, what's the missionary cry? It's to care for lost people. It's to care for saved people. It's to care for the hurting. It's to have a concern for people around us. Listen, brethren, we're not winning the race here. You know the problem we have in our churches, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, King James only, hellfire and brimstone preaching, is we don't love people. People don't come to our churches because we don't love people. They go to those liberal churches because they get the love that they think they need. But we that got the book, we that got the truth, they ought to get the love that they need from us. There ought to be a care in our heart for lost people. Do you really care tonight? Do you really care about people? What would you do to get somebody saved? That's quite a thing here. I thought about the missionary cry. I thought about the great white throne judgment. You know, the great white throne judgment is going to be one of the worst things that this world's ever seen. People say there's not any tears in heaven. There's going to be tears in heaven. You know why? Because the tears aren't wiped away until after the great white throne judgment. That's the last judgment on this earth. And don't you know, brethren, if we don't weep and cry now for the souls of men, we'll weep and cry later on. Because you'll watch your family or your friend that you knew, that you worked beside, the neighbor that you live by, you'll watch them go to hell. Do you know that? If we don't weep for souls now, we'll see them go to hell later on. Listen, your friends are just not dying. Your family's just not separated from God. They're on their way to burning hell fire. It's about time that America wakes up. It's about time that our churches wake up and see what God sees. God that giveth to all men liberally, that braideth not, and he will give rest for your soul. Listen, we need wisdom. We need to see things like God sees them. But David said, no man cared for my soul. That great white throne judgment will be one of the most terrible scenes this world's ever seen. You remember over there in the book of Acts 16, that man of Macedonia, he cried and prayed. He cried out to God and he said, Lord, I didn't know where God was. And he said, come over and help us in Macedonia. And God let that ricochet off the portholes of glory right down into Paul's heart. God told him to go into Macedonia to start those churches. Thank the Lord for that. He answered the missionary cry. There are places in Asia and in Africa and Madagascar and India and Liechtenstein and Burma who don't have a gospel witness. There are people in this Biesville that don't have a gospel witness. You could be the gospel witness on your street or on your job or in your neighborhood or at the job. Listen, we need to stand up in these last days. Look at John chapter 5, please. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse number 7. John 5, 7. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have what? No man. No man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Here's a man that has an infirmity 38 years, man. He's been sick. He's hurting. And he's looking for somebody to put him into the water. Look what it says in verse 1. It said, after this there was at the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there's it at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Brother, right there you see four kinds of souls in the world. Listen, you have an impotent people all around you. That impotent has to do with somebody that's helpless, somebody that's without strength. Do you know somebody that's without strength and helpless that needs somebody to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? Here you have blind people. We got blind people all around us that can't see. They need somebody to guide them to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need somebody to guide them to the cross. You see the halting person. You got people that can't get going. You probably got teenagers in this church don't seem to can't get going. They need somebody to guide them. They need somebody to help them. They need somebody to have a concern and a care for the soul. Do you really care tonight, church? And then there's a withered Christian. Christians are beat up all over. You could be the one to comfort them. And then it says Christians waiting for the moving of the water. What are you waiting for tonight? What's keeping you from doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ? What's keeping you from praying? What's keeping you from witnessing? What's keeping you from going with the gospel to your neighbor? What's keeping you back from doing what's right? We need somebody to reach people with the gospel. You could be that one tonight. Verse 4, for an angel went down in a certain season under the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Brother, it looked like once a year, God blessed the nation of Israel, and brother, this angel comes down, and that water starts moving around, and it's troubled, and there's impotent, sick people all around this pool. They're helpless people, and they're waiting for the moving of the water. It only happened once a year, and they're waiting every year, and then all of a sudden, that pool starts moving, and those people are looking for one person to put them into the pool. That's a picture to you and I as a Christian. There's somebody. God's looking for a man. God's looking for one person to put somebody to the water. Putting somebody, go to somebody with the gospel. Would you be that one man tonight that would knock on that door? Would you be that one lady that would go to that person that's helpless and homeless and hurting and impotent that needs somebody to guide them to the cross? Would you be that one person tonight? Look what he says. The impotent man, verse 7. And verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another step down before me. Here it is. Here it is. Jesus saith unto him, arise and take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Brother, there was great victory that day. Great victory. There could be great victory right around the corner for you. Take your Bibles to two places. Look at Ezekiel 22 and then pick up Jeremiah chapter 8, please. Ezekiel 22 and Jeremiah chapter 8. I'm watching your time. You don't have to. Ezekiel 22, please. Thank you for turning there. Ezekiel 22 and Jeremiah chapter 8. Ezekiel 22. Jeremiah chapter 8. Ezekiel 22, look what it says in verse 30. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. Notice, but I found none. Jeremiah's preaching, he's looking for a man to stamp in the gap, and I want to say the God of heaven is looking for that same man today to stand in the gap. God's looking for a woman to stand on the gap. God's looking for a teenager to stand in the gap. God has been always looking for one person to stand in the gap in the last days. I'm so sick of hearing about the last days, man. Hey, listen, why don't you just make a well and do something with what God's given you right now? He says, I have no man to put me into the pool. David said, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Jeremiah says, I sought for a man to make up the hedge and I found none. Look at Jeremiah chapter 8, please. Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, please, in verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Brethren, we need to envision our mind that the harvest is past and people are going to hell. Listen, you're either going down the right road tonight or the wrong road. You're either going to heaven to be with God or you're going to be to hell to be with the devil. Listen, there ain't two roads. The Bible says, broad is a way that leadeth to destruction, narrow is a way that leadeth to life everlasting, and the Bible says, few that be that find it. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says the dead, small and great, will stand before God and the books will be open. And that book which is called the book of life, and it says those not found written in the book of life were cast in the lake of fire. This is a second death. Envision in your mind tonight, hell is real. Hell is real. Hell wasn't made for any man, boy, or girl. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. And if you go to hell, you choose to follow your sin into hell. You say, why does people have to go to hell? People go to hell because that's where sin goes. Amen. And if you choose your sin rather than choosing the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll die in your sins and you'll burn in a devil's hell. It doesn't matter whether you've been baptized. It doesn't matter whether you've obeyed the golden rule. It matters only whether you've been born again by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar for an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that's an atonement for your soul. The Bible says the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. I want to give you three. You know what? I thought about this. The good news is only good if it's on time. Is that right? Come on, talk to me a little bit. Amen. Good news is only good if it's on time. Tonight I want to give you three things that you'll need to get the missionary cry. Every one of us in here need to have the missionary cry. You say that's good only for you because you're a missionary. No way. It's good for every saved child of God in here tonight. God wants you to have a missionary cry. Look at the first thing. Go back to Psalms 142, please. Psalm 142. Look what it says. Three things that make up the missionary cry. Number one, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice in the Lord did I make my supplication. The first thing about a missionary cry is you've got to learn to cry out to God. You've got to learn to pray. You know what the missing element in our churches today? It's prayer. You know what? I heard E.M. Bounds say one time, preaching never edifies a prayerless soul. The reason why our churches aren't growing is because we're not praying. The reason why we don't have power with God is we're not praying. The reason why we don't have power in our marriages, power in our relationships, power in our churches is because, brethren, we're not praying. David said, I cried with my voice. Hear my voice with my supplications. I wonder, do you pray? How well do you know your missionaries tonight? Do you know their church? You know their wives? You know the average missionary, independent Baptist missionary, spends about 18 months on the mission team, and then he comes off. You know why? Because the wife comes. You know, I've been in Moldova 15 years, and you know what? We've seen six missionary families leave the field. You know why? You ought to be able to name their names. Do you realize when we were in Moldova, our family had a friend for 3 years? There's missionary kids that are lonely out there that need your prayers. Do you realize some missionaries in Africa, they live around walled fence areas where their kids can't go outside and play? They got to play within the bounds of their fortress there. They never go out. You know how lonely it is for some kids? I met a missionary in Malawi, Africa, just recently. His daughter was so lonely, she wanted to go back. He says, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. I want you to know, if you're going to have the missionary cry, first of all, you're going to have to cry out. Number two, you're going to have to pour out. You say, pour out what? Pour out what's inside of you. It's bothering you. Jesus said, it's not the things from without a man that defile him. It's the things from within. The Bible says, out of the heart, evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder. Those are things that are inside that nobody else can see. I'm talking about the envy tonight. I'm talking about pouring out the jealousy that's in our heart. I'm talking about pouring out the bitterness. I'm talking about pouring out the hatred. I'm talking about pouring out the grudge that you've got for somebody. How's the envy level in your life? David said, pour out. He says, I pour out my soul. He said, look over at Psalms 42, please, quickly. Psalms 42. I wonder if there's anything in your life tonight that you need to pour out. Listen, if you don't pour out, you can't be filled up. In order to be filled, you have to empty yourself of you. Look what it says. Verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. My tears have been my meat day and night. You ever taste a tear? It's salty. You know what that is? That's grace. Grace seasoned with salt. That you can give an answer to every man that asketh you, the hope that's within you. He said, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the holy day. Seems to me that David poured out. He says, I remember these things I poured out, my soul and me. I wonder what David remembered. I believe he remembered when he was empty. I believe he remembered God's care. Think about how good God's been to you. Think about how God's taken care of you. Job 29:2 says, oh, that I were in the months past as in the days when God preserved me. He remembered when there was nothing. Sometimes it's good for us to remember that we're just nothing. Jesus said in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. You can't preach without God. You can't pray without God. You can't have a good marriage without God. You can't have a family without God. You can't have a church without God. We need God. Amen. He remembered when he was nothing. Jeremiah says in Lamentation 4:1, how has the gold become dim? How has the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. You know what else he remembered? He remembered there's more to life than now. Luke 16:25 says, and Abraham said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. Nothing else matters but what's done for him. What are you doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I remembered these things and I poured out my soul in me. Let me ask you something. Is there something inside your heart that you need to pour out to God? You remember when David and the mighty man, David said, oh, if I could have a little drink of water from there in the house of Bethlehem. You know what those three mighty men did? They broke through all those Philistines, man, went down there to get him a drink of water. They brought that drink of water back, and you know what he did? He poured it out unto the Lord. You know, that's what some Christians need to do. Pour out what's inside of them out to the Lord. I'm talking about rebellion. I'm talking about apathy. I'm talking about the sense that you know that you're supposed to be obedient in one area in your life, and you don't want to do that. He says, I remembered these things and I poured out my soul in me. Are you pouring all out to God tonight? Is there something from your personality you need to empty out? Missionary cry is to cry out in prayer, to pour out to God. And then number three, look at Psalms 42 and verse 4. When I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me, for I'd gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept the holy gate. Not only a missionary cries to cry out and to pour out, but your glory. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You see, we have a prayer line. You see, if you've got a prayer line.